Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the words of Isaiah, the prophet. We've heard now, this is the third week in a row that we have heard from Isaiah, the one whose name means the Lord saves, who had the distinction of proclaiming judgment, but also who had the blessing of prophesying your coming, your justice, your kingdom, the promise of the Messiah. And Lord, today as we continue our journey through those last 26 chapters of his writing, Lord, we thank you that as we look here at chapter 61, we're thankful for this promise that you declared to the people in Nazareth. As you started your ministry after your temptation, after your baptism, you started your ministry by proclaiming to the people in the synagogue in Nazareth, your hometown, that this was happening in their very presence, that the year of the Lord's favor was upon them. And Lord, we pray today that as we go into this Christmas season, into the new year, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that we are in the year of the Lord's favor. We are the people to whom this promise was made. We are the people to whom this wonderful grace has been given. We are the people to whom you wrote this through Isaiah. Lord, may we receive from you today this wonderful promise for us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you just put up the Old Testament for me, Dave? The Old Testament lesson there. This is interesting because in Luke chapter 4, these are the words that Jesus was asked to read when he appeared at the synagogue in Nazareth. He was invited to read the text, and the text was from chapter 61, these words. And you know that that didn't get a very good response in Nazareth, if you remember. He wasn't really received for his great sermonizing. All he said was, "This has come to pass in your very presence," and it didn't go over very well. So I guess we should all be kind of nervous, right, about sharing this. But this is a powerful word because in the midst of what we've discussed, we spent 3 weeks now talking about Isaiah and all the things that were happening in the kingdom of Judah, where he was prophesying to the people of Judah, and how, you know, they had seen the King Sennacherib get taken out and the Babylonians come, and how King Hezekiah was happy because it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. Remember, talked about that last week, right? And now you get this wonderful passage of Scripture, which is in the midst of a number of promises. So this is kind of, we're only getting a little glimpse, but if you start back a few chapters and go into chapter 60, you see some wonderful promises being made as Isaiah is speaking to the people who have been taken to Babylon, who are in exile, and promising them that this is not the end of their story. And this is important as we enter into this year that we've talked about as in this time, the season of preparation of Advent. We've talked about watching. We've talked about praying. We've talked about preparing. Now we're talking about rejoicing. And what are we rejoicing in? We're rejoicing that our God, who makes promises, is capable of fulfilling them. Amen? So we trust in what he says. When he says something, we believe it because he is capable of doing what he promises. And I think that's really important as we get into this year and as the days get shorter. The reason why it's important is because as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, how many people kind of get depressed? A few of us, right? Kind of, it's just frustrating, you know? We like sunlight and it gets cloudy and it doesn't snow, but it rains and, just weird things happen, right? And it's this time of the year where we can get really down and we can see all the stuff that's going on around us, and we don't have enough money to buy the presents we might want to buy, or we don't have enough stuff or we have too much stuff, or there's all these things we want to go to and yet there's not enough time in the day to go to all of them. Have you noticed that around Christmas time? I mean, it just seems like there's just too much to do and not enough time, and you can get really, you can kind of lose focus. You can kind of just try to get through each and every day. Then you end up, as in our family this week, where people get sick. And I'm the only one to come out of this unscathed. So thank you for your prayers. I know it's because of that so far. But, it's like unbelievable when you go through these times and you go, man, it's hard to look forward. It's hard to get excited. You get this thing right in the middle of this. It's the joy candle, that pink candle up there, and you go, I really don't want to rejoice. I'll rejoice when Christmas is over. Because there's too much stuff. There's too many things to do. And you get this wonderful passage of Scripture, and it's such an encouragement to us, isn't it? It's such an encouragement to us to know that no matter what we are feeling, no matter what the world is saying, no matter what people around us are going through, no matter what is coming our way, that God is still in control, and He is still sovereign, and He still says that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And I want you to hear this, because this is really important. This is what Isaiah is saying to a people who are not feeling like the Lord is showing favor to them. They are not feeling it. How many of you have been told something and you just don't feel it? No? Yeah? You go, yeah, I hear it, but I just don't feel it. Well, these people are not feeling it, okay? They're not feeling it, and yet they need to hear it. And so the Lord sends this wonderful passage through Isaiah the prophet and later on through Jesus Christ. And He says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. How many of you have ever felt poor? Yeah. Have you ever felt brokenhearted? Mm-hmm. How many of you ever felt captive? I'm talking about feelings here, not literally, okay? Maybe you haven't been tied up and thrown into a dark room with a mask. You know, I'm not talking about that type of captivity. I'm talking about feeling like you just don't have any options. Yeah? And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. How many of you have felt bound? I don't know. In my life, I felt bound by things that, you know, when I look at them, I think to myself, really, they weren't that powerful, and yet they seem like they had a tremendous power over me. Ever felt bound by something that you just don't understand? You look at it and go, how does this have so much power over me? It really isn't that big of a deal. It does, from a sense of eternity, it really doesn't, you know. And yet, this is why this is so important. This is why it was so powerful when Jesus spoke it. Because I think all of us have gone through times in our life where we have been feeling poor, where we have been feeling brokenhearted, where we have felt like captives, where we have felt bound. And what the Lord wants to do in this situation is He wants us to understand that He has anointed us. We are His people. We have been anointed. That's what it means to be children of God in this day and age. Do you realize that you are called by God in your place, in your vocation, at this particular time in history? You are not here by accident. God has called you for such a time as this so that you can go and share with people this good news. And I want you to think about that when you come across people who are feeling poor, who are feeling brokenhearted, who are feeling captive, and who are feeling bound. I think there's ample example, you use those two words together, ample examples of these type of people today in our world. And I believe that God wants us to understand that's why we exist. We're not here by accident. We're not across from Eastern Michigan University in the city of Ypsilanti by accident. We are here on purpose because there are people in our midst, wherever we live in Washtenaw County, wherever we are placed, wherever we are, there are people in our midst who are bound, who are feeling brokenhearted, who are feeling poor, who are feeling captive. They need to hear that Jesus Christ died for them, rose again for them, is ascended to the right hand of God for them, and wants to pour out the whole power of the Holy Spirit to not only let them know that they're forgiven, but to know, let them know that they are set free, that they are no longer poor, they are no longer bound, they are no longer captive, and they are no longer brokenhearted. Now again, remember, not everybody feels it. Okay? Just the way it is. But I can guarantee you that if we're not speaking this truth, they're not getting it from the media. Do you think so? They're not going to get it from the government. They're not going to get it from even the people around them a lot of times. If we don't proclaim what Christ proclaimed in Nazareth, which is a hostile environment for him, and you say, well, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go into the foreign mission field and do this because I don't want to tell people who I have to live with, who I have to work with, who I have to be beside, who I have to see all the time. I don't want to tell them this. Because if they don't feel it, are they going to be happy to hear it? How many of you don't like it when people invite themselves to your pity party? Any of you? No? Some of you? I mean, people, there are some people that just like to be where they are, and they do not want to hear this. People in Nazareth were sort of like that, right? I don't want to hear this. And yet these are powerful words, aren't they? These are life-changing words. They have power because they're backed up by Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, who lived, who died on the cross, who shed his blood for our forgiveness, who rose again from the tomb, and who's ascended to the right hand of God, and is coming back to take us to be with him forever. They are backed up. These are not just words. They are not just language. They are promises. And we have a God who's capable of doing what he promises. Amen? So, how many of you are excited that we're in the year of the Lord's favor? Isn't that awesome? We're here. The Lord could have put us back 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He could have put us back 100 years ago. He could have placed us anywhere in history, but he chose to place us here and now because he knows that we are capable of sharing this message, that he is anointing us to share this message at such a time as this. And I'll tell you something, it's not an easy time. It's not an easy time to proclaim this message, is it? It's not easy. And yet this is the truth. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Let's keep going. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. And we kind of jumped a few verses here, but if you get a chance, when you go home, read what's in between here because it's pretty cool. And then we go to verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, basically pay them back. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them and that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth springs forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Who is the person that's doing this? Let's go back. Can we go back one slide there, David, please? Why should we greatly rejoice? Is it because we figured this out? Is it because we've come up with a formula? Is it because we have figured out something that isn't available for everyone? No, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Who has done the work? God. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Who? God. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, keep going, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Who's the one that delivers on the promises? God. So should we grow faint and be discouraged? Should we be people who say, well, I don't really want to tell people because what happens if it doesn't work? I don't want to tell people that they are no longer bound. I don't want to tell people they're no longer captives. I don't want to tell people that they shouldn't be brokenhearted. I don't want to tell people that they're no longer poor, because what happens if they don't feel it? Is it up to us to keep the promise? No. Is it up to us to fulfill the promise of the garments of praise and the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness? Is it up to us to deliver on those things? No. So my question for you as you go into this Christmas season is, how faithful is the God who gives the presents? Have you ever gone to one of these white elephant things? And you ever really wondered what's behind the big, or what's in the big box? I know some of you have experienced this, right? Isn't there a big risk involved if you decide to take the big box? Because what might be in the big box? Yeah, right. A whole lot of paper. Or a lot of air, right? You know, there's a good chance. You never know, right? That's the nerve-wracking thing about this. And the problem with the big white elephant thing, if you go to a large group of people and you don't really know the people, can you really trust that they're going to give you something that's really decent? No. You take your chances, right? Well, that's the way the world looks at God. I have to be honest with you. The way the world looks at God is they look at him and they say, it's got this nice big present and it's got a nice big bow on it and sounds really good, but I'm not really sure I trust what's inside the box. Is this a revelation to anyone? I want you to understand that, because you know, we might go out of here today and we might be like, wow, I'm anointed by God. He wants me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He wants me to tell the people they're no longer poor. He wants me to tell the people they're no longer captive. He wants me to tell them no longer be brokenhearted. He wants me to tell them that they are no longer imprisoned. But you got to understand, we know, because we're on this side, we know that God is faithful in keeping his promises. We know when we pray, he gives us results. We know he's into healing. We know he's doing mighty things in the life of his people today, right? We've experienced it. But remember, we're talking to a people who still think there's something deceiving about the box. They don't really trust what's inside. And so, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The world is talking about Jesus. Either they want to make it all about the presents or the decorations or what they're wearing or what they're doing, or it doesn't matter. Christmas is still Christmas. Amen? The world may want to take Christ out of Christmas, but I guarantee you there are still people out there that need to hear the message. And I believe that there's never been such a time as this to declare what Jesus declared in Nazareth. He declared in Nazareth the truth that we are invited to declare, that he is capable of doing what he promises, and that he wants us to declare to people the good news that they are no longer poor, that they are no longer brokenhearted, that they are no longer bound, and they're no longer captive. Can we share that message? Can we share the message? It might be good to throw in every once in a while a testimony about how you opened up the big box, and there really was a great present inside. But it wasn't just a bunch of smaller boxes with a lot of newspaper. You can tell I've lived through this a few times. That it wasn't just a lot of air. But you can open up the present and tell them that it's real. That Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, is real. He's real. He's born in Bethlehem. He lived his life perfect, without sin. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. And he rose again to prove he has the victory. He ascended to the right hand of God so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and might could be poured out upon his people. And he's coming again. That's what Christmas is really about, is that he came once and he's coming again to take us home, to be with him forever. Isn't that awesome? That's the present. That's the present. That's why we can declare. People are no longer poor. I think you're poor in spirit here. They're no longer brokenhearted. They are no longer captive. They are no longer bound. Because our Lord is here. And this is the year of our Lord's favor. Now let's celebrate. That's the reason for the season. That's really Christmas.